You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. Somali pirates have been grabbing headlines for months for hijacking tanker after tanker. The Somali government is in shambles and its president is resigning, but the snatch and get paid schemes of Somali pirates may be coming to an end. Last week, German fighter ships thwarted an attempted hijacking, and now China has sent two destroyers to escort and protect its merchant ships. Chris Hogg, a reporter for the BBC, is in Beijing covering this aspect of the story. We spoke with him earlier and asked him why China chose to send in the destroyers.
Well, it's interesting. I went to a news conference at the China Defense Ministry here in Beijing. And there, the military brass who were on the podium were very clear. They said that there had been UN Security Council resolutions that had mandated the international community to take action, and that China saw it as an important part of its role within the international community to do its fair share. I think there are more interesting questions about what's really behind this. I mean, certainly one very important factor has been that there have been seven attacks against Chinese ships this year. Now, that's provoked a lot of chatter on the internet here in China, with netizens, as they call them here, complaining that China is not standing up to the menace of piracy. So certainly there was quite a lot of domestic pressure on the Chinese to take part in this kind of operation.
It's worth noting that about 60% of China's oil is imported from the Middle East. But in the past, Chris, we've heard arguments that you don't want to take on these pirates because it's too dangerous, particularly if you're talking about a tanker that's full of oil.
Well, there are two things to say about that. I mean, firstly, the Chinese were very clear. They're sending a lot of firepower with them. These two destroyers have helicopters with them. They have special forces. I think there are between 50 and 70 special forces that are part of this deployment, including one man who the Chinese media reported claimed he could kill the pirates with his bare hands. So there was certainly a lot of confidence as they were setting off on this. But you make a good point about the amount of oil that is imported here to China. The other reason I think that China is taking part in this kind of operation for the first time is that China is, of course, doing much more business with the rest of the world. So securing marine routes is now as vital to China as it is to other countries like Britain or America. So that's why you see this kind of more aggressive action from them that is quite unusual.
Well, Chris, maybe it's even beyond that. I mean, it seems like this is less about piracy and oil and much more about a real opportunity for China to project its power into the Indian Ocean as a prelude for doing what it's always wanted to do, really, in the past 10 years, say, to be the counterbalance to the United States in the Pacific. Do you see this as a first step for China projecting itself into the world's oceans?
Well, there are two ways of looking at that. I mean, first of all, there's the official Chinese line, which is a denial that this reflects any kind of major change in terms of foreign policy. And they were asked the question that you've just put at this news briefing a couple of days ago, and they were very, very clear about it. They said, you know, China's policy has always been a peaceful rise. It's always been about not trying to provoke its neighbors in any kind of way, and that policy hasn't changed. However, I mean, one thing that is interesting, and a lot of experts have pointed out, is that what we've seen really since the early 1990s is China slowly building up its naval power. Now, you have, for instance, mass production of frigates. Soon they'll be mass producing destroyers. And of course, once you build your Blue Sea Navy, it's easier to project your power. The thing that China lacks, though, is experience. It lacks the experience in terms of cooperating with other navies. It lacks the experience of operating far from home. China doesn't have any bases in the area. China doesn't have an aircraft carrier yet. And so you're right. This really does offer them a training opportunity, if nothing else, to see just how difficult it's going to be for them to operate far away from Chinese bases.
Very quickly, Chris, based on your read of the military officials that spoke in the last few days, do you see China more or less indefinitely patrolling the Horn of Africa in these particular waters?
Certainly, they were suggesting that this was going to be a long operation. Prolonged was the word they used. They are concerned, though, about how easy it's going to be to supply these ships and to keep them supplied. So I think we're talking weeks and months, but I think it's probably at this stage it would be too far to say that this was a permanent move.
But clearly a sign that 2009 is going to be very different in the way that China takes on an international problem as such as this.
Yes and no. I mean, the other problem that the Chinese have is that the Chinese economy is slowing down. Now, the Chinese economy slowing down will definitely focus the minds of the leaders here in Beijing, and it already is, on maintaining social stability. That could end up being the biggest test that they face in 2009. And inevitably, when things start to go wrong at home, they're kind of the other kinds of diplomatic or military adventures tend to get put to one side. So, I mean, certainly talking to analysts here in Beijing, that's what they think is going to be the biggest problem for 2009, keeping a lid on whatever problems there are domestically, rather than flexing their muscles, flexing the country's muscles militarily overseas.
Chris Hogg is a reporter for our partner, the BBC World Service, and he spoke with us from Beijing, China. Now we turn to Femi Oke, who's got the headlines of the morning.
Just coming up to 21 minutes to the top of the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.